Yeah.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the Lavender Fix podcast. I'm your host, Sabreen Hazik, and you, my friend, have made it to episode 3. Now, today's segment is going to be all about a subject matter that affects us or has affected us in the past in some capacity, especially during our young adult years, you know? And it has to do with this big existential question. I remember asking myself this question, which is a college degree important when it comes to pursuing your dreams or achieving your goals in life? You know, and where I come from, which is New Delhi, India, earning a college degree was such an important step in life. In fact, it is very central to achieving success, according to parents. And for obvious reasons, you know. But what if you've already figured it all out? What if you know what you want to do and are absolutely not motivated to attend college? Does it stop you from achieving your goals? Today, I have with me my really good friend, Ananya Rejwani. She's going to kill me for this. Who was also my infamous wedding video producer and photographer back in 2017. And from the ghats of Varanasi in India to the heart of New Delhi, Ananya's journey of deciding not to attend college in pursuit of her dreams is nothing short of inspiring. A self-taught photographer, Ananya's sheer love for colors, art, and celebrations made her choose the wedding photography, my God, I am really messing up today. Wedding photography industry over a degree. Now, was it the right decision? Has it been worth it? Has it paid off? Let's find out. Hi, Ananya. Welcome to the Lavender Fix podcast. How are you? How is life? We haven't spoken in such a long time, and I'm so embarrassed, but I'm really glad that we're getting to catch up today. So, hey.
Hi, Sabina. I know, right? We've done so many takes, but first of all, thank you for having me. I am so glad that you decided to do this with me, connect with me after such a long time. And every time I feel we have long gaps, despite that, whenever we connect, you know, it's still the warmth, it's still the same love, and still the same connection. And I feel that's great. So thank you so much.
No, of course. And thank you for being here with me, Ananya. And like I said in my introduction, this is a very important topic that has affected a lot of us in the past, especially as, you know, young adults. And you took on this journey by going against the norm, which is ditching college and jumping right into starting your own business. And I'm really curious to know all about it. How did you decide that this is what you wanted to do? I want to know all about it. Talk to me.
Actually, Sabreen, I did not know this from the very start. But, you know, since I was a little kid, my parents put me in different forms. And Kathak, I think, being my first love and something I did when I was really young. I think I was 4 or 5 when I started and did it on and off for, you know, 10 to 12 years. It was something which sort of was a part of my daily routine. I have a lot of memories around my Sunday morning, you know, being spent doing that. And I think it was my dad who noticed that as a child, I preferred, you know, arts over academics. And I always had an inclination towards artistic subjects. And it was him who enrolled me into an art school, you know. Before that, before my 11th and 12th, I was actually in a missionary school where they mostly believed in bookish knowledge. So he put me to this art school, and this place really gave me the freedom to sort of explore a lot of more creative areas. And as just students, we were given a lot of more exposure to explore our potential and grow in, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Also, during this time, Sabrine, my parents were running this homestay business, which they still are. It's called Homestay Varanasi, and it's in this beautiful place called Varanasi, which I proudly call my hometown, you know. So we had this bed and breakfast where people would come and they would stay with us. And I was always surrounded by, you know, a lot of individuals from all across the globe with all sorts of artistic backgrounds. You know, we had writers, we had authors, we had musicians and, you know, salsa dancers. And I remember this one time, firefighters from America, you know, from the US. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that exposure to different sets of people just gave me, you know, a lot more thought into what I really want to do. And, you know, people would always pre-book to come and stay with us at the homestay, right? Mm-hmm. But there was this one time we heard this loud thump and we had this elderly couple, almost 60-year-olds, and they came in and they told their story and they said that, you know, they're looking for an accommodation. So what they actually do is they're traveling the globe since last 2 years. And, you know, they've sold off everything back in their home country in the US. And they go to a new country every time, buy a bike, mm-hmm. bike around and, you know, explore the whole country by road. They have a plan as such. They sell off the bike and then they hop onto a plane and get to another country.
My God.
And, you know, all of these, you know, stories and all of these adventures and just spending time with different people rubbed off on the whole spirit of adventure and travel, you know, which I'm sure you already are aware of.
Yeah, it most certainly did rub off that spirit of adventure on you. I mean, traveling on motorbikes, cross-country travels are has to be like a completely different league of individuals. I don't think I can ever do that, but yeah.
Yeah, and my dad was really fond of it. So he has also done a huge chunk of it with my mom and alone, you know, in his younger days. So I think a lot of that as well, you know. But apart from that, you know, when I completed school, I would say that I was a little directionless and thus was just still exploring and deciding between what I really want to do and, you know, just seeking out a lot of career options. And around this time, I feel there was this boom in this whole candid photography and wedding photography business. And there was not a lot of people doing it back then, you know. And that's when I decided that, you know, maybe this is something I could do, you know. I really feel that I was at the right time, you know, at the right place.
Yeah.
Just touch wood worked out for me.
Right. And so when you say that you were at the right place at the right time, what does that exactly mean?
You know, like I said, Sabrina, that the wedding industry at that time in general was just booming, you know, and rising up. So there was this whole new trend of candid photography coming in the picture and just ditching the older ways of doing things. Mm. And I feel that this was somehow a great opportunity for someone like me who was already doing photography. And I also do strongly feel that I'm a people's person, you know. Mm-hmm. So I never had that one typical best friend from school that sticks by you all through. So somehow I also feel that this industry sort of opened doors for me to meet new people, you know, build new connections and just, you know, transcend from the typical client contract bracket and just find new friends and just make some amazing connections. Mm-hmm. I mean, you and I, that's
yeah,
how we
that's
met.
True. That is true, yeah. Okay, so I get your point now. And you said that you had a lot of artistic influences in your life because of the homestay venture that your parents were running at the time and are still running very successfully. Was there a particular person or guest that left an impression on you?
Not anyone in particular that I can remember of, but, you know, just having that exposure where you would, you know, have a meal with someone from a different nationality at breakfast and have lunch with someone else and just listen to their stories and talk about their lives back, you know, in their hometowns and in their home countries. All of this exposure was, I think, the jackpot for me, you know. Mm-hmm. I explored so much. I understood myself so much you know, while interacting with all of them. And I think my parents were never the kind who would impose their life choices on me. They never had the typical engineer doctor mentality, engineer bano, beta doctor bano. And my father in particular was a huge source of encouragement for me, and he would always push me to, you know, explore and try out more new things.
Yeah, pursue your dreams. And for those of you who don't, who probably, you know, didn't quite understand what the whole doctor engineer analogy is all about, you know, in India, parents are, for some strange reason, really obsessed with their kids becoming doctors and engineers, because it's supposed to be, it's considered to be very prestigious to, you know, be in either of those categories. Anyway, that's really cool. I mean, it's really great to know that your parents were not rigid and boxy about your career choices, as opposed to the general norm. So what did you end up doing then? How did you go about getting a did you get a degree? What was it like?
I actually never went to college, so I don't have a degree, you know.
Okay.
I actually wanted a break after school and think about what I actually wanted to do, because as I said, I was directionless and I was not able to decide and, you know, pursue one thing. So right after my school education, you know, came to an end, I told my parents that I would ideally want to take a break for a few months or maybe a year, you know, and decide. And they were very open to that idea. They were very cool with it. And they said, absolutely, you know, instead of doing something half-hearted, you know, you should definitely take a break. Mm-hmm. And as I said, I was a people's person and I was meeting so many, you know, new people who were actually coming right inside my lives by entering, you know, my homes and living with us in the homestay. Mm-hmm. I slowly, within a few months of this break that I had taken, decided that in terms of photography, I would ideally like to go with wedding photography, because it just reflects and it just fits in with that whole, you know, people's person choices that I sort of make. So yeah, that's majorly about it.
Right. And how did your parents react to this big decision of yours? Were they like, I mean, yeah, we are not typical parents, but you shouldn't take it for granted and you should definitely get a degree and there's no question about that? Was there a situation like that ever?
Frankly, my friends always tell me that my parents are quite unreal, and I totally agree.
They
that.
Are.
Yeah, I mean, they've always been incredibly supportive. There are so many times, you know, now that I'm living alone and I reach out to them and, you know, like usually parents say no to things. They never say no. There are so many times I really tell my mom, I said, are you really my parents? Like, why do you not say a no, you know? So they've been incredibly supportive. And my father specifically always told me, I would want you to go to the best photography school. And initially, I think both of them said that I should go and get a degree, because it's like that safety backup plan and like that safety net everyone should have, because, you know, you never know what life throws you and, you know, what circumstances you land up in. But I think over time they gave up to that idea, because I was not motivated enough to pursue, you know, the whole college education thing. And I feel I am still not someone, I mean, not just back then, but still not someone who could actually sit in a classroom and study, you know. And I always say that my biggest win and my biggest milestone is seeing my father specifically grow from, you should take a degree now because it's a security, to, I know you'll do well regardless of anything life throws you at, because he saw that capability in me, you know. So I think that's my biggest win. And that's one thing that makes me feel successful. Like, successful has a different definition for everyone, right? Mm-hmm. That's my version of success, I think.
Aw, that's so sweet. So that's great. By the way, I don't know if you can hear this weird thumping sound. It's probably my partner trying to cook in the background. But anyway, so, okay, I think your parents are adorable, first of all. Now, parents are parents. They will always support you. I mean, at least at the back of their mind, they are trying to support you. Your parents were more vocal about it, and I'm really glad that you got to have that. When it comes to, but you know, everyone else in your families does not necessarily have the same attitude towards your choices in life. So did you ever have to deal with rants from relatives about this decision of yours? And I'm asking you this because there is this invisible pressure, especially in India, to do things right.
I mean, yeah, I can actually think of this one person who I think is going to listen to the podcast as well. So that's funny. But yeah, I mean, I remember this one person and I mean, a couple of more people. And I think it did come from a place of love because they care for me and they love me and they don't want anything bad to happen to me. But it did get annoying, you know, after a certain point of time. And I think one of these days while I was home in Varanasi and this whole conversation as usual came up, my parents decided to take charge and, you know, just politely ask everyone to back off. And I think, yeah, just like I always say, that's my biggest win. And
wow,
things just changed after that. So, yeah.
Again, your parents are unreal. that is quite rare. And I'm really glad that, you know, your parents took charge and they decided to tell everyone to back off. Now, coming back to you, despite everything that's happened, the support that you've had and all that, did you ever question your decision to not get a degree? Does it ever cross your mind? And by the way, this, when I was writing this question, does it ever cross your mind? It reminded me of that song. I don't know who it's by, but it's, ever cross your mind. Who is it by? Do you know? To me, it happens all the time.
I don't think I've heard that, but I would love to look up for it.
It's a very nice.
It sounds like me. Yeah.
I sound very dumb right now. So, yeah. Sorry. Back to you. yeah. So, yeah. Did you ever question your decision not to get a degree?
This might sound really funny and hilarious, but the only time I think of it is when I fill a visa form.
What?
You know, yeah. You know, when you have to, you get that weird stare from your travel agent or this person who is, you know, sort of doing and fulfilling, you know, all the paperwork for you. Mm-hmm. And he gives you this weird look and he looks at that section where you write just school or like 10 plus 2. Mm-hmm. And then he looks at your bank statement and then he looks at, oh, self-employed, you know, and he gives you that weird look. It just makes me really, really angry. It makes me anxious at the same time. So, yeah, that's funnily the only time that happens. But I do know that at a certain point in my life, I would ideally want to do like a short certification course or like a short-term course.
Right.
And learn something. Surely not photography. I think 7 years now into this, not photography for sure. Maybe design. Maybe a little bit of culinary, something of that sort. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and coming to your second bit about the regrets, I don't think I have regrets. I mean, I had, you know, I always had very small dreams when it comes to me. I feel my dreams were not big enough. My dreams were majorly about being independent and being on my own self and, you know, making sure I get to travel to places. And I feel I've made that life for myself. And I'm never one of those who likes to hoard things, you know. So that small space of mine that I have now, I'm pretty happy with. And when I left my home, actually, I had 40K on me, I remember. It was from this first wedding that I had shot in Varanasi.
Yeah, and 40,000 rupees for those of you who are listening. Yeah, exactly. Not 40,000 US dollars. Okay, yes.
Yeah. So 40,000 Indian rupees. And it was from my first wedding. And that was all my capital. So I remember the first day of coming to this strange city and, you know, deciding to do things on your own while your parents back home are very, very anxious. I paid 14K rent and 14K security. And I was just left with 12K, you know. And of course, I was also left with a lot of dreams about how I wanted my life, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think I survived and I did pretty good, right? So far, so good, touch wood.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, that's priceless. What about learnings? I mean, yes, you don't have any regrets, but I'm pretty sure you've had oodles of learning experiences.
Yeah, I actually have a lot of learnings, I would say. I think whatever I am today is because of, whatever I have learned over these years of living alone and doing things by myself, you know. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I feel that, you know, I should have was maybe business investment or like seed funding. I did refuse to accept anything from my parents from the time I left home. Mm-hmm. So life basically started with that leftover 12K for me. And, you know, when you're 18 and you're paying off your everything and you're on your own and parents back home are worried and they're paranoid and they're not able to figure what the child wants to do in a strange city. It's a little difficult, but now I'm, you know, kickstarting another venture soon, and I'm already working on it. I have saved myself for that investment, and I have that security, right? Things are a lot more planned, and I have a lot of learnings from my first brand, which I think I plan to, put before I launch the second one. Mm-hmm. So a lot of that. Another thing that I think I would like to really mention here is that, I always thought that being a good businesswoman or being good at business required being good with numbers, being good at math, And for the record, I suck at it.
Oh, God. Tell me about it. I suck at it, too.
Yeah, like as a kid, I hated math. Like the numbers would just, they just never went to my head. Mm-hmm. But over years, Sabreen, I have learned that being a good business person or being a good businessman comes not from being great at math. It comes from being great with people. Mm-hmm. If you're great at, giving people what they actually come to you for what they're actually there, if you're good with them, if you solve their problems, if you're great at building community and connections, have empathy for people you work with, which is your team, the ones that support you. Hmm. I literally call them my Delhi family.
Yeah.
And the ones that you work for, which is your clients. So I think empathy is one of the most important learnings that I have.
Hmm.
So it's about math, it's about a lot of psychology. It's it's about a lot of sociology over math,
I feel.
And after a point, I feel that I get a bit tired of this whole pricing and budgeting conversation. I mean, with you, remember? You and me on our first call lasted like almost 1.5 hours,
right? I remember, yes.
Yeah, so I think after a certain point of time, it really does not matter to me.
Hmm.
Everything else goes on to a side and I'm like, I want to be friends with this person. I really want to do this.
Yeah.
So that's how I try looking at things.
Right. Okay, we'll be skipping the next question. I just looked at the clock. We're like at 23 minutes. So we need to, I'll move on to the next question, which is, let me look here. Yeah, so my next question is, were you, looking around at the time when you decided to get into this industry, were you ever intimidated by your competition at the time, given that you did not have a degree and maybe some of them were running a successful business and had degrees?
No, I think photography is not that sort of a space, Sabreen. It's more like a creative field. It's all about practicing and, being great at your skill and brushing it up over time. And it's not like I wanted to become a doctor without a degree, right?
Hmm.
The one thing that my father has really ingrained in me, I think indirectly, is the fact that growth really is important,
Hmm.
If you're doing better than what you were before, I think that's great. So growth still till today matters the most to me. And I think it will matter the most always,
Mm-hmm.
Having that contentment that I'm better at what I'm doing is the most that I need,
Mm-hmm. Right. And okay, one quick question. And this may take a moment for you to answer, but had this gig not worked out for you, and if you were not a photographer, what would you be today?
So if you ask this to the 18-year-old Ananya who left her house with $40,000, it would have been a different answer. But if you ask the 25-year-old Ananya now, after almost 6 to 7 years of running this, I think I would have been somewhere in the design or decor space, home styling houses maybe, or running a cute cafe and feeding people. I love feeding people. And I do love airplanes. I mean, I have it tattooed on my finger, on my ring finger, and I tell everyone I'm married to travel before I'm married to anyone else. So yeah, one of those, I think.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? Maybe you would have been an interior designer for fancy airplanes, and maybe you were also the person who decided what was to go on the menu. This is too ambitious, but yeah, no, that's really, really cool to know. And I'm not surprised you said that. I think you would have definitely been somewhere in the creative space still. And I know that a couple of days when we were chatting about this podcast, you mentioned to me that someone had recently asked you about your 10-year life goal, to which I said that, oh my God, who knows what will happen in the next 10 years? But I'll ask you the same question again. Where do you see yourself 10 years from now?
10 years is frankly lifetimes away. Like, ask me what I'm going to do next week, because my parents always make fun of this. Every time I have to go home, they're always like, you know, they know that it's going to be a last minute thing because you never know when we get a shoot, right? So 10 years is a little too much to actually put into picture for me even at the moment. But if there's one thing, then having fun, you know, and feeling happy is really, really important for me in life. Who knows, you know, what the definition of fun is going to be 10 years from now on. One thing that I'm really sure about is the fact that I would surely not be doing wedding photography. That's one thing I'm really, really sure about. Maybe I would have a cute little cafe and I'm feeding people. As I said, I love feeding people. And also, this industry is, you know, pretty volatile. You know, there's no structure. We get 6 months crazy amount of work because Indian weddings are based on the star and the sun and the moon cycles. So the
Yeah,
whole astrology
superstition.
comes into the picture.
Yeah. Can
So,
you, Ananya, could you quickly tell me, since you said that it's slightly, it's a slippery slope, has the, oh my God, I hear this weird thumping sound, which is so, anyway, speaking of the volatile nature of the industry, has can you quickly share with me if the pandemic has affected your business?
yeah, Sabrine, it has had its own negative impacts. You know, we don't know when weddings will happen. What scale is it going to be? I mean, the Indian government at the moment has given, you know, the maximum timeline for 50 people in a wedding. Like, you can't have more than 50 people, which is actually a joke in India, right?
Yeah,
I
that's true.
mean,
More like
50
50,000 is a
people
better
sign.
number.
Yeah, it's like crazy. So all of that, and then everything is pretty rushed. Everyone is sort of worried, and things are not clear to actually everyone at the moment, you know. And for me, having that bond with my clients is so important. So I'm really not sure where all of this is heading us. And you know, weddings are anyways seasonal, and you know, COVID has anyways impacted the good season already for this year, a huge chunk of it, I would actually say. April was packed, and now we were all packed in our homes instead of being packed with work. So it has just completely changed. But then I would also look at it like the fact that now maybe it has affected my business in terms of the profit margin. But you know, smaller team, smaller crew to manage, lesser stuff to deliver, with a quicker, you know, turnaround time, more intimate weddings, you know, like they used to happen in older times, you know, when you used to have a closer group of family and friends. So pros and cons to everything.
Yeah, and I really admire that you're, excuse me, able to, everything's going wrong today, by the way. My throat is all weird. I really admire that you're able to find a silver lining amid all this madness. You know, I really do. Now, finally, I think we're so close to the end of time. And so I think it's right now is the moment when we should jump into the last section of the segment, which is we share some advice for those who may be dealing with similar life experiences or want to choose a path similar to yours. So Ananya, quickly, are you able to give us your top four tips of advice for aspiring entrepreneurs who are probably thinking about doing something similar?
Wow. Before I actually give advices or anything I'm saying at the moment, I also would like to say that everything that I mentioned here is just something that I have experienced. It comes out of everything that I have gone through and seen and, you know, spoken to people about. It might not work for any of you listening, you know, out there, and it might as well. But just because I've been asked this, and I mean, I would love to tell you guys what, you know, I feel about it. Mm. So the first is make sure that you're, you know, committed to your passions. You know, I'm someone who really believes in gut feeling. You know, if I feel like this is going to work deep down inside me, I do it. Mm. So if you really want to do something, ask yourself questions like, do I love it? Do I want to wake up to this? You know, will this give me joy to wake up to every morning? Will this give me happiness? And if your answer is yes, you know, just do not listen to anyone. The whole town might be telling you not to do it. But if that gut feel inside you says that you should, just do it. And, you know, like a building, when it has a strong base, it can go a lot higher than you can imagine. So just make sure that your base is really, really strong. You're really sure about it. And just really think strategically how you want to go ahead about it. Don't chase numbers. Don't chase Instagram following. I get so many DMs when people ask me all of that. So please don't look at Instagram followers, but just keep working hard. You know?
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely agree with you. Yep.
The other thing that I would, I mean, I always say this to my team. I mean, when they listen to the podcast, they're going to laugh about it. But the other thing is hard work and smart work, you know. I always tell them that you need to know when to do what, you know. Mm. Building a product, deciding to do what you want to do, all of this is easy, you know. But learning how to market yourself, you know, realizing that what you're bringing onto the market as your product or as your service is irreplaceable really, really matters. Please practice your art. Be around people who give you growth. Be around people who help you. Please create an online portfolio. Do not depend on third-party applications who would want to ideally give you work by taking a little bit of cut. Mm. Don't go to the easy shortcuts. Build a website, create an online portfolio, make your own Facebook, Instagram, have your own channels, speak what you actually feel about what you do, you know. Mm. Be absolute real about what you're talking about. And I think that really, really connects with the right kind of audience.
Right. The only thing I'll add to that is, I mean, first of all, Ananya, I love the whole idea about there's a difference between hard work and smart work. I think personally, when I created my own website and I, you know, it's more like in like a portfolio. It was so much more easy for me to get the right jobs when I moved to the US. So I 100% agree with you on that. The other thing is HubSpot has had mentioned in one of their courses that people are not interested in what you do, but they're more interested in why you're doing what you're doing. Yeah, so that was a great point, Ananya. Okay, now on to the third piece of advice.
Please do not work for free. I'll say this again. Don't work for free. People still, after 7 years of doing this, I mean, on my Insta bio, I have it written 2013, you know. People still message me and ask me if I would like to do this. for a barter collaboration. I think the whole collaboration word has been ruined, you know. Please own your art. Please value what you do. Please value your art or anything that you're doing, you know. Defend yourself. Defend that art. Love it. And please ask for what you deserve, you know. I feel a lot of people out there in the market do not do research about where they stand according to their work presently. So I would say do that research and find out your free timing, that free time that you have, that you would go and do someone's portraits, that free experimentation ground of yours is actually something that is going to harm you in the longer run. Because you're ruining the market at the moment, and in the longer run, it is going to affect you somewhere or the other because you're going to be in that whole ecosystem. And of course, it does affect the bigger players at the moment, right? So don't work for free, guys.
Correct. 100% agreed.
Yeah. The last one I would say is, please take informed risks. You know, I always hear people, I always read these articles and tweets about how you should follow your passion and how you should give up on your job and believe in it. I feel that there's this whole wave that came into India, you know, at a certain point when everyone suddenly wanted to pursue their passions. I mean, as much as I respect it, as much as I, you know, feel great about it, I would always say that do not leave your great job because you feel you're good at something. Sit down with yourself. Have an honest conversation about what if you quit your job and get into this and then you're not able to pull it off. Like, have that honest conversation about you trying to sell that product, you trying to sell that service. I mean, quitting and starting something is easy, but selling it and making it completely irreplaceable in the market is something which is extremely difficult. And I mean, you would ideally want to do that, right? Become so irreplaceable that you do not have a competition. If you go through my reviews online about my work, you would see how the fact that people write about my work is maybe a few lines where they mention that they love the photos, the videos, or the album. But the bigger picture is the fact that they loved having my team around. They loved having, you know, interact with us. We were almost like a family to them. And the fact that they came to find a wedding photographer but found a friend in me. I think that's my irreplaceable quality, that I'm a people's person and I made it work for me. So find your niche and just make this work for you and make it irreplaceable.
Awesome. Well, that's a wrap. Thank you so much for being here, Ananya. And where can our listeners find you on social to stalk you and your portfolio and for business inquiries?
I mean, they can write to me. I'm very quick with my email replies. My email ID is ananyarijwani@gmail.com, which is my name @gmail.com. For my work, I think the most updated that I love updating is my Instagram. So they can find me by my name, ananyarijwani.weddings. That's where I am mostly found all the time. They can also check out my website, also find me up on Facebook. And very, very soon, I will be having this new cloud kitchen thing that I'm planning. So I'll surely announce that as well. And they can also, you know, kind of see what I'm doing over there and the kind of things I'm planning to pull off over there as well.
Awesome. And that's a wrap. Once again, a huge shout out to all the listeners for tuning in. If you're looking for more information, please visit my website, which is www.sabrinehazik.info. And if you'd like to join me on the Lavender Fix podcast, please write to me with your story at thelavenderfix@gmail.com. The Lavender Fix is also available on, and this is my favorite part because the list goes on, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcast, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Deezer, Listen Notes, Overcast, Pocket Cast. I'll see you again very soon with a new episode. Till then, chin up.